You've tuned in to the 4567 Lunchbox Messages, a podcast for the on-the-go season singles, hosted by CT.
Yay! Welcome to 2025. This whole month, we're going to be looking at how singles can make constructive changes. In doing that, I want to introduce you to one of my favorite biblical characters. He's my hero. He's one of my heroes, Zacchaeus. And some of you guys will call him Zacharias, but actually his name is Zacchaeus. And his story can be found in Luke 19, 1 through 9. And his name is Zacchaeus. And one of my favorite biblical characters was a liar, and he wasn't liked very much, and he was a thief, okay? And let me just tell his story very simplistically. And the whole point of this, the whole reason I'm doing this, is because for the next four sessions, as we get together to encourage singles, seasoned singles specifically, I want to encourage you in 2025 to make some changes. That this be the year that you seek out and you make some changes that's going to help you reach your goals for the year of 2025. So Zacchaeus was one of my favorite characters, even though he was a known liar and he was a thief. And here's why. Zacchaeus, as his story is told, ran to meet Jesus. He knew that he was short, so he had to get a jump start, and he knew that Jesus was coming his way. So he climbed a sycamore tree, and he waited to basically see Jesus. He also knew that he was not liked. So being short in the crowd of a group of people that don't like you, you're not going to get close to Jesus. And here's why Zacchaeus was not liked. He was a tax collector. People didn't like tax collectors because they were rich. He was a cheater and a liar. He was viewed as a person who collaborated with the enemies because he worked for Rome. So the people around him considered him a traitor because he was working for whom they consider to be the enemy. Now, all of that stuff going on, why is this particular character, this particular guy in scripture, one of my favorite characters? But let me tell you why. Why I love this story so much, and why it is the basis of me trying to encourage seasoned singles, it's time to make some real changes in life. First, I like Zacchaeus because he heard about Jesus was coming and he got overjoyed. Overjoyed. How many of us hear that Jesus is coming? That Jesus is coming to, is going to be at the church. He's going to be at the home Bible study. And we actually get excited. How many of us are excited about waking up in the morning and spending some time with Jesus? Zacchaeus didn't have a relationship with him, and he was excited. And if a liar and a cheater and a crook who does not have a relationship with Jesus can be excited to meet him, what about us? So I have to admire the fact that there was something about the characteristics of Jesus that drove this very wicked, self-centered man to want to meet him. And let me just stop right now and pause for a few minutes, because there's always a longing inside of each one of us to want to meet something that's good. And Zacchaeus, in all of his faults, he had that desire as well. And I like the fact that he recognized it. He didn't have to meet Jesus. He was rich. He had all that he needed, but he wanted to meet Jesus. And in doing something, he ran and he jumped and he climbed a sycamore tree. And that makes him one of my five faves. Absolutely, Zacchaeus. Girl, stop being weird.
I'm not weird. I love the Lord.
Holier than die, but lonely every Friday night.
Right.
Doing crossword puzzles and watching reruns. Okay, come on. You're weird. I need you guys to tell a friend, to tell a friend, to tell a friend, to get the book, Stop Being weird. This book was written for Christians to help them break out of their insecurities and the fears and embrace friendship and relationships. This book will challenge you to be the new and better you. So come on, y'all. Stop being weird. The book Stop Being Weird is coming out the end of February on all social media platforms. But you can also just check it out at my website, 4567lunchbox.com. Tell a friend, stop being weird. And then the second reason I like Zacchaeus is because he realized his limitations. He understood that, look, these people, this crowd is not going to like me. This crowd is not my friend. I got to find a way to get to what I need to get to accomplish what I want to accomplish. No excuse. He knew he was short. He knew at the time that, I got to find a way to see Jesus. There's going to be people all around him. He's going to have his 12 disciples. They're going to be protecting him. But I got to see him. And I understand my limitations. So I can't see him standing on the ground. So I'm going to climb some trees. And how many of us can kind of relate to that? Or maybe we need to start relating to it. Because just because you can't get what you need to get, some of us need to go higher. We need to associate with different people. We need to be unafraid to meet different people. We need to break out of our shell. We need to break out of our expectations to become what we need to become in life. And Zacchaeus knew it. If I'm going to accomplish this goal, I got to do something I've never done before. I got to get ahead of the crowd. So I'm encouraging you guys in the year of 2025 to be like Zacchaeus and get ahead of the crowd. Jump above and beyond what others are expecting of you to accomplish what you know you need to accomplish. That's the life of Zacchaeus. And then the last one I want to mention, and this is what really makes me like him, and I already like him, because I see a go-getter. I see someone who knows how to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. And I see somebody, even though he didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus, had a thirst for Jesus. And that is something I wish for all of us. In fact, I pray for all of us that we will grow to that point where we actually thirst and run after Jesus. But here's the other thing I like about Zacchaeus. And this is what just melts my heart. Zacchaeus knew how to come clean, to give it all up, to shed the pretense. When Jesus looked up at Zacchaeus, because when you're looking for Jesus, he's going to find you.
The book, Why Must I Wait So Long, is a 7-day devotion that will encourage Christians to understand why sometimes God calls us to wait. It's an easy to read with biblical and practical examples. If you are waiting for God to move in any areas of your life, you've got to get this book. Why Must I Wait So Long, written by Creola Thomas. Where do I get this book? Go to 4567lunchbox.com. You can also buy the book there and check out her merchandise.
And you're going to find him. And that's just a fact. That is just not me spewing biblical rhetoric. No, it's a fact. Anytime we're looking for the good, anytime we're looking for solid, anytime we're looking for Jesus, we're going to find him. Jesus looks up. He knows that Zacchaeus is there. And he says, look, man, come down. I'm going to have lunch at your house. I'm going to eat with you. I'm going to break bread with you. And everybody around began to grumble and began to murmur. Do Jesus not know that this is the chief of sinners? This is Zacchaeus. This is the chief of liars. Yeah, Jesus knows. But even in that, he still wants relationship. He's a God that's after relationships. So Zacchaeus hears the murmuring and he comes clean. He said, look, you know, I'm going to give away half of everything I own. I'm rich. Give away half of it. And he looked at the crowd and he said, if I've cheated anybody in this crowd, I'm going to give you four times as much. And then Jesus says something to Zacchaeus, which is what he says to us all the time. Salvation has come to your house. Deliverance have come to you. Because you realize who you are and you want to get better. It's a shame that some of us don't realize who we are. We want the pretense. We want the lies. We want the deceptiveness. We want the jealousy. We want the gossip. We thrive for the bad. And Jesus can't even sit in that place. He's not even there with you. But Zacchaeus realized that, wait a minute, Jesus, I'm going to get real with you. You have absolutely got to get the book, How to Resurrect a Dying Church. Are you a pastor that's struggling with membership? Are you a church leader who desire to see your church grow as well as invigorate the members that are already there? If so, you've got to get the book, How to Resurrect a Dying Church, out now on Amazon and all social media platforms. Or check out my website at 4567lunchbox.godaddy, where you'll be able to find not just the books, but merchandise that we're selling as well. Thank you and have a good day. It's 2025. So right now, and trust me, this is not an easy podcast to do. I'm about to get real with you all. I'm going to shed all the things that I've been doing in 2025, and I'm going to come clean on some stuff. I got to say some stuff over this mic that I've not said in life, because I have to be real with you guys. I like Zacchaeus because he understood his limitations. So let me tell you just one of the things that I've been struggling with that God has been challenging me to shed, and that's lying. Psalms 101:7 says, he that worketh deceit shall not dwell with my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. A liar shall not tarry in God's sight. And you know what? I used to always ask myself, God, why are you not blessing me? Get this again. A liar will not tarry in God's sight. What does it mean to tarry? It means to linger. It means to stay longer than expected. It means to not be on the agenda or to not encounter God's presence for an extended period of time. If you're practicing lying and you're practicing deceit, God will forgive you, yes, because he's a loving and a forgiving God, but he's not moving you daily. He's not moving in your life. He's not doing the things he wants to do in your life because he knows that you are a liar. And he knew that about me. And 2025, I said, I'm coming clean. I'm coming clean on some things. So let me briefly tell you this testimony. And I'm only going to say what the Holy Spirit wants me to say, because I know that I've been delivered. But I also know it's very important that I share this with you with all transparency, because I want you to seek wholeness. You don't have to worry about me. I'm going to endure what God intends for me to endure. But I want this year, 2025, for God's people to seek wholeness. What did I lie about consistently? Well, let me tell you. And I'm not going to glorify the devil and give no long, drawn-out story. Because actually, lying was my native tongue. And even when I didn't want to tell a lie, sometimes it just sneak and there goes a lie. And I don't know how to bag back out of it, you know, but there it is. But I do want to share this story with you. This particular lie that God has laid on my heart. And sometimes we continue to do the things God asks us not to do because we're embarrassed to give it up. We're ashamed. Somebody is going to know our inner thoughts, our inner beings. Well, when you're single and you are saved and sold out at 20, you're like, yay, I'm 20. You know, there's still room for me. I don't have to tell people I was married or I got a boyfriend or whatever because I'm still 20 and five. And fine, I'm sorry. When you're 30, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm still single. You know, I don't have to make up this pretense, you know. I'm 30 and there's a lot of men out there. I can even date a 50-year-old. You know, I'm still desirable. And then when you get 40, it gets a little bit harder to keep that yay. Because you may not say it, but you feel the differences. You feel the tiredness. You go to sleep at night and you feel the loneliness. It's real. It's facing you. You cannot hide from it. It's there. You know, you wake up and you greet it and you go to bed and you greet it and you try to cover it up, but it's there. And then when you get 50 and you're still single and you know you did right and you know you love the Lord, it gets even harder. So one of the things I used to do to just not have people question my life is that I would tell them I was married. And my husband was deceased, and that I had two children, and that my son was a football player. All that, a lie, a lie, a lie. I do have a daughter, though, and I do have a stepson. None of that. That's okay. But the fact that I embellished on who these children were, I didn't tell people that my son had many kids, and we don't really communicate as much, or I didn't volunteer the information that my daughter has a mountain of struggles that will eventually be her testimony one day. Hi, my name is CT, and I wrote the book, How to Resurrect a Dying Church. You know, my dad asked me before he passed to write a book that would help churches like he pastored, churches that struggled with low membership, inactive membership, and financially. And so for years, I studied small and large churches alike, and I finally got it. I think I have the keys to help pastors grow their struggling churches. So check out the book, How to Resurrect a Dying Church. You can purchase this book on any social network, but I want you to go to my website, 4567lunchbox.godaddy, and check out the merchandise that we're selling there as well. All right, see you soon. I just let people think that my husband was deceased, that somebody had married me, and that I had this, at one point, this grand life, and it was all a lie. And I'm going to tell you something. When I had to come clean with God and divorce myself from that lie, it was actually like a mortal death. You know, I couldn't say it anymore. I couldn't fathom, you know, spewing that lie anymore. And I had good reasons for saying it. I just didn't want to be questioned, why are you still single? I just didn't want to have to explain that to people. I didn't want to get the looks of pity, like, you still single? I didn't realize that I was in a blessed position, and that's what the devil will do sometime. He will take what's good about you, and he will warp it so you will tarnish it so you don't tell your testimony that God has sustained you, that he has held you, that he has kept you pure, that he has kept you holy through all the trials and tribulations. You still stood for God. I couldn't give that testimony because I was lying about a marriage I never had, about a husband that never died, and God wasn't there. Remember, God couldn't linger in my ministry. He couldn't linger in my life. He couldn't linger with me because I was, each time I met a new person, I was spewing this out. Now people are going to hear it and they're going to know. And does it embarrass me? Yeah. But you know what? Who it embarrasses more? The devil. Because now I can say with full assurance, God is still Lord. And I don't care how long we have to wait, I'll wait. And I don't care how long it takes, I'll wait. Because I know that God is faithful. And maybe Abraham kind of felt like me. And maybe his wife, Sarah, knew and understood. And maybe I can even identify more with her struggle as she was waiting for something that just never happened and felt like it was her fault that it never happened. Well, I felt like it was my fault. But this year, 2025, I felt like, and I know the Holy Spirit was telling me to just come clean. Come clean. Come clean. Give it over. Give it over. Because God loves you more than your struggles. He loves you more than your faults. And he loves you more than the length of time you've waited. And he is faithful. And as I begin to pray for you, I want you to just really look at your life. Evaluate where you've been covering up, been lying, been deceitful. I want you to look at who you've hurt, who you've offended. I gotta say one other thing that kept me embellishing this lie. One day I told somebody the truth. I said, you know what? I'm lying. I've been lying all along. And that person left me alone. Never said anything else to me. Never called. Never. That kind of like, okay, you can't tell people the truth. Okay, I'll keep the lie going. But actually, that was just another excuse for me to keep the lie going. I should have stayed. God had convicted me about this a while back, and I went back into it. So this year, 2025, as I walk the straight and narrow, I want to encourage you guys to look at your lives. I really want you to take a look, even to your children. Are you treating one better than the other? Even to your job, are you really grateful for a job you can get up and go to? Even to the boyfriend or the mate you're anticipating marrying, are you really sold out for God and really going to give this relationship your all? I just want to challenge you all to do it. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Psalms 101:7 tells us that you will not stay long with a liar. God, I don't know what the sins are that people are struggling with, but Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will give them the ability this year to walk out of it. I don't care if it's gambling, lying, sexing, texting, too much television, or too much social media. Whatever the situation may be, God, this year, I'm praying that you give your people the ability to recognize that it is what's holding them back and to walk out of it. For your glory, God, give them the strength and the encouragement to walk and not look back. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. This is always a fun part of the show for me because today we're talking about a date disaster that I'm sure we've all experienced on some level, whether we want to admit it or not. But it's when the person you're on a date with talks too much about the ex, you know. So this is too much talk about the exes. So the story goes like this. A woman went on a date with a guy she had met through a mutual friend. The evening started off good, you know, good chemistry, fun conversation, a nice venue, but things went downhill quickly when he brought up his ex. And then he kept bringing her up. He mentioned how his ex was crazy and how he did everything for her, but she was too high maintenance. So he could have stopped right there. After a few more rounds of my ex did this, my ex did that, The woman tried to steer the conversation to something more neutral, like travel or hobbies. He immediately pivoted back to discussing how his ex hated traveling and how he wouldn't date anyone who didn't love the beach like he did. At this point, the woman was like mentally checked out, but the cherry on the top came when he said, and this actually is not so funny, but when he said, "I'm still not over her, but I'm trying to move on," you know?
Oh, wow.
No, I don't know. You're rather a jerk that's stuck in the past. That's what I do know. Well, needless to say, it didn't work out. She politely excused herself and left after the dinner. Yay!
Yeah,
she ate the dinner.
All right.
Eat that snake, baby. Eat that snake. Mm. But that, my dear, is a date disaster.
Ooh.
Date disaster.
Hi, my name is Creola Thomas, and I am the host of 4567 Lunchbox Messages. I just want you to know that we are supported by viewers like yourself. So if you gain knowledge or get any information from what we're speaking and what we're doing, and you're able to support us, we would greatly appreciate that support. There are three ways you can support us. You can first and foremost support us through prayer. If you could make a commitment just to pray for us daily, that would be a blessing. Also, you could just send us a Zelle. You could Zelle me at CreolaXOXO@gmail.com. Again, that's Creola, CreolaXOXO@gmail.com. And just put in your Zelle notes, support for 4567 Lunchbox Messages. And last but not least, and this is what I really love doing, guys. So if you go to 4567lunchbox.com, our website, you will see that we have a store and you can purchase from that store. That also supports us. So thank you again for listening. I love you with the love of the Lord, and I hope that we're able to continue to bless you for years to come.